So what you're saying is that my description of the blow-off score isn't so perfect that you have no questions? The blow-off score doesn't really mean anything right now. The blow-off score is what you'll get as a final score if you blow off the rest of the term, if you get a zero on everything remaining. That's why it's such a low score. If everyone would fail if you blew off the entire rest of the term. I have it there, though, because when there's only one, maybe two things left, sometimes it doesn't actually affect your score. Like, for instance, I had a woman who was doing so well that she didn't even have to come in for the final. Because even if she had gotten a zero on the final, she would have had an A anyway. That's what the blow-off score tells you. So if the blow-off score is, this is toward the end of the term, if the blow-off score is this in the same grade range, letter grade range, as the maximum possible score, which is also listed in your grades, then it doesn't matter one way or another. A 0% and 100% on the final would give you the same grade. Understand what I'm saying here? That's what it's there for. But the blow-off score also tells you what happens, you know, if you got a zero, will it drop you down into the lower grade, basically. Just, it doesn't make really any sense, though, until there's only one thing left. What's that? First of all, I have no idea anymore. That's the hardest part of being an instructor, is learning 100 new names every term. Today doesn't need all that much of a song and dance from me, because it's really a continuation. You're doing the rest of that chapter you started for microscopes, except you're doing the cells part of it. And the rationale here is that you're already much better at microscopy than you were before, because you had that practice round. So hopefully things will go well today. There's only three things, I think, that I want to say. One is that when you look at a potato or an onion, ideally what you want to do is make a slice one cell thick. Now, obviously, you're not going to be able to do that. But you could get very close if, when you make a thin slice, you make it go off the edge. In other words, make a wedge, a very thin wedge, and then look at the edge that comes to a point, and that will be very, very thin. Understand what I'm saying there? Okay. Another thing is, part of it asks you to change the tonicity of the environment by adding salt, or you can go back and forth between salt water and fresh water. But the best way of doing that, once you have your wet mount already made, so you have a cover slip on it, right, and there's already water on between the two pieces of glass. That's before you add the salt water, for instance. The best way of doing it is take a paper towel and just rip off of like a postage stamp piece of it. And then put a droplet of the salt water or whatever kind of water you're using on one edge. Don't try to lift the cover slip, just keep it in place. Put it on one edge and then place your piece of napkin right at the other edge. And as it absorbs water from underneath there, it'll draw this water in to replace it. And you can then go back to pure water, and you should be able to see a difference in the appearance of the cells based on the change in tonicity. And the other thing, I think this is the only other thing I wanted to say, because this kind of confuses some people, I don't know about, maybe it's because of how it's written in the manual, but it's the estimating cell size part. It's really kind of a common sense thing, but people are confused by it. Anyway, you have a field of view, right, whenever you look through a scope. But remember, even though that field of view looks the same size to you, it's really not. If you change magnification, the diameter, the real diameter of that changes, right? And you want to estimate the size of a cell. To do that, you need to know what the actual diameter is, which depends on the objective you're using. And that's why the manual gives you a little table telling you what the diameter is depending on which objective you're using. So that gives you the entire diameter, right? Whatever that number is, it's listed. And if you have a cell in here, and you're supposed to estimate the size of the cell, meaning the length or the width of it, however, whatever you want to call it, it's really just a matter of using the mechanical stage to move the slide so that the cell is right at any edge of the circle. It doesn't matter which edge. Okay, but you move it so that it's exactly at an edge. And then you try to imagine how many duplicates of that cell stacked end to end it would take to go all the way across the diameter. In this case, it looks like it's 8. All right? And that means each cell is 1/8 of this diameter. You just divide the diameter by 8 in that case to get the size of the cell. But the key is making sure you use the right diameter, which depends on the objective lens you're using. That's why you look it up in the manual. That's all there is to that. So, just follow through the things. This says stereoscopes, but these are the dissecting scopes I was talking about. And enjoy.